to look at the third part. Now, let me just back up very quickly and say to you that we have been looking at three triplets. And I discovered the first triplet about 4 years ago, and I'm sure you've discovered it, that in the parable of the prodigal son, or that Luke 15 passage, there are three parables. It's a triplet of parables written apparently at the same time. Of course, Dr. Luke would have recorded it at the same time, but Jesus taught it at the same time. The only time he taught three parables together. And the last of those three is the prodigal son. They're all about something being lost and something found and great happiness and joy when it's found. And it says even the angels rejoice when sinners come to God. Isn't that wonderful? And so the prodigal son is like the best grace parable to, I remember being up in Toowoomba and the Lord saying, that's the one to start people off if they're not aware of grace. Talk about a son coming home, how the family is blessed. And if you've got time, you can mention the religious brother who didn't want to be part of it, wasn't aware that his father's heart was a grace heart. Now, that was three parables together, the first grace triplet. And then the second one was Psalm 22, 23, 24. Psalm 22 is Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it goes right through, and I think it uses about 15 identical lines to what Christ said on the cross. There's no doubt about it, it's a messianic psalm. It's speaking of the Messiah to come. And then it ends, and for the first time in my life, about 2 months ago when I started to preach it, I saw the last line of Psalm 22, and it said, the righteous one cries out, it is finished. Wow. Wow, you know, I'd never seen that, it is finished, there in the Old Testament. I'd never seen that word, even that English word. And that made me sort of jump with joy. I thought, wow, look at this. Several thousand years old. And it's the first time I've seen it back in the Old Testament that Jesus would cry, it is finished, the righteous one. And then Psalm 23 is Jesus as the great high priest. And it says, because he is my shepherd, my pastor, I will have everything that I need. Oh, I would love you to say amen. Some of you say amen. Get right into this sermon. And then in Psalm 24, it's about the coming king to reign with us for 1,000 years. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up your everlasting doors, and the king of glory shall come in. It's very, very strong. It's very, very beautiful about reigning with him. So, you know, there... And when the Psalms were written, when were the Psalms written? Die, that would have been 2000, and David was about 700 BC. So 2,700 years ago, that Psalm was written. And that Psalm is now like the most powerful Psalm for me as a Christian, and yet I've known it most of my life. Help bury people with it. The Lord's my shepherd, you know? And now it's just become so real, now I've come into grace. So real. How many found that Bible now is more special to you now you've come into grace? Just the two of you? Three of you? Oh, okay, there's a few more. Just about five. Five is grace, isn't it? What about you, Pastor Sid? You got your hand up there? Praise God. Now, the next triplet. When I was in Singapore years ago, I wrote a book called The Names of God, and taught it in the Bible school to all and sundry that came in. And it was about that thick, and it had about 25 names in there. And I think I elaborated strongly, or, you know, as much as I could on 17 of them, but I mentioned all these particular names. And I noticed that there's two major categories of names in the Old Testament for God. One is the Yehovah names. Everyone say Yehovah. Yeah. Yehovah Shalom, Yehovah Tsidkenu, Yehovah Rapha. And we know all those names, right? And they're called the Jehovahistic names in a big category. But then there's the Elohistic. Now, the first name of God in the Old Testament, in the Bible, in the beginning, God, is the plural name of El. Elohim is the plural name of El. So in the beginning, the God family, or the God, you know, it's three in one, the God persons, if you like, made the heavens and the earth, etc. One of them was the Logos, which was Jesus, who came to earth and intervened as El. And the word El means to intervene. Okay? Now, what's next? Let me say, look, I find it difficult with the little one. Is that possible? Someone could just put him in. Could you just put him in? I'll need to really think. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. We love him. We love him dearly. But there's a tiny tot's room. There's a room. And you'll see me on the screen in there, sister. You'll see me on the screen there. Thanks. Now, the Elohistic ones, there's the Ael names. Now, Ael is the singular. Elohim is the plural. And so Ael has three beautiful names in the life of Abraham, where he is he's going through unrest in trying to bring about the call of God in his life. Now, all of us have the call of God on our life. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's been a special call to leave the science background that I was trained in. And I knew that from the age of 14, I would be a missionary to Chinese people. I knew that. I knew that that would happen after I was 14 at some stage. But I had to wait, and I waited, and I saw other people, and even my wife when we were engaged, so we weren't married, but she wasn't my wife then. But my engaged partner, she went off to Thailand and Singapore and Malaysia and Philippines, etc. And I was still back in New Zealand, just working as a scientist, but just waiting for the timing. Now, that's the name that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about this fabulous name, which is not very well known, El Olam. Would you like to have a go at saying that? El Olam. So El means to intervene. Olam means the chapters of our lives that he controls. It's very, very beautiful. Now, you know, for me, now there's a chapter that I'm living now in my life called the chapter of planting grace churches in this country. When I was up with Diane and Pete, or Pete was there, he was working, of course, but Diane invited me to go up and do some Bible study, Mondays, wasn't it? Mondays. And so I went there for about a year, I think. We had a lovely, parties, and it was fun. Actually, it was fun going up with Elaine and Bev and Di, and there was Joyce and a few of the other ladies there. It was fun. Those girls were just marvelous in their love and devotion to Jesus. I didn't say come down to our church or be part of our church. I didn't see it like that. God said, no, you just enjoy yourself and teach. And I didn't know that all of a sudden God would say to me, you know, now I'm going to send a lot of people towards you, and you're going to plant churches. So now we have 10 churches. Let's thank the Lord for that. Let's thank the Lord for that. I reckon when we clap, we should really, if we're clapping Jesus, I think it's worthwhile giving him a tremendous clap. We're not clapping Percy. Come on. We're not clapping Percy. We're not clapping. Actually, it's really nothing to do with me. It's just somehow or other he takes the foolish things, and I'm one of the foolish things. Okay, that's true. I don't want my name on it at all. So we're very thankful that we can call our church New Creation. Thankful to Pastor Prince, and some people regard the church in Singapore as our mother church. And in a way, it's true, because we have a lot of people even sitting here today that first heard Pastor Joseph preach about grace and then heard there was a grace church. And our message is exactly the same. So in this Jehovahistic, let's go to the next point, please. Not next slide, just press one. Yep. Over the last 5.5 years, I've been greatly helped in growing in grace. One particular truth from the grace covenant given to Abram has been foremost in instructing me, the triplet of grace revelations given to Abraham and Sarah. Now, I taught this for many years in Singapore. For about 14 years, I taught this, but I never had the grace take on it. Now it's so refreshing, and I feel it's touching me much deeper, and I feel like I'm just a student learning about grace. And it involves the three compound names. There's only three compound names of ale. Ale, as up there, spelt at the top, and you've got your screens, guys, so you can look at that. Okay? And this word ale means intervene, and Aeolion was the topmost, most high God who rules over all. But it was also, he was the possessor of heaven and earth. And that is where Abram got his revelation. He was still Abram. He wasn't Abraham. And he got his revelation and what God had said to him, that he would be a father of many nations, etc. Although he hadn't had that even told him. But he was going to be, in the Genesis chapter 12, in his call, he was going to be the father of many nations. And if you are going to be a country and father of many nations, you'll need to have some possessions to do the it. And he got that from there, Aeolion, which was a type of Christ, because Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And it was Melchizedek that brought this name, a Gentile name, into the Jewish faith. All right, next one. You have to press again. Yeah. Al Shaddai was the next one. So these are the three triplets, Al Elyon and Al Shaddai. Can you say that? Al Shaddai. It looks like Shaddai, but it's not Shaddai at all. Shaddai should die in your vocab. It's not Shaddai. It's Shaddai. And El is not El Shaddai, like we sing in the songs. El Shaddai, El. We don't. It's El Shaddai. It means the one who sheds forth blessings and sustains us. And that's in chapter 17. He gets this revelation and makes us fruitful, and he removes areas of deadness in our lives. So circumcision comes in there a little bit later. Next one. What's happening to our screens, boys? Okay, and the last one then is today's one. Al Olam, the God who has power to plan the ages or calendars of our lives. Someone pray for these screens to work, or else we'll lose them. Really, seriously. Someone just pray. Someone pray. Come on. Let's pray. Father, we believe you now that this thing was going to work. We've waited 4.5 years to get them all up. It's a long time. Thank you, Father. All right. The God who has power to plan the ages or calendar of our life. This is like this one I just love the most. And it's there, and we see Jesus taking these titles in the New Testament. He was Emmanuel. 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 God with us. I think the Muslim world might have got the Iman. Iman, because it's Emmanuel. They have Imans with us. They might have taken that same root word. That's fine. But it's Emmanuel came to earth. Right. He has power to plan the ages of the life. God who works his will. So I was there as a young scientist waiting to go to Singapore for years. And I saw others going off in YWAM. My wife went with YWAM overseas. It wasn't that I wanted to travel. I had no desire to travel. But I wanted to fulfill the will of God in my life. And so then a man got up in the church one Sunday and he looked and he said, "You young man," he said, "you're going to be in Singapore before the end of this year. And God is going to send you and you shall be greatly blessed." He didn't know anything about my call. He didn't know a thing. He was fairly new into the church. And he prophesied. Is that right, Di? And boy, I just froze in my chair, you know. Everybody turned around. Oh, you're going to Singapore, are you? You know. They did not know. I'd kept it a secret. So when God confirms, it would confirm to me. Not through someone thinking about it. Okay? And so there I was. I had to resign, sell my house. Or we didn't sell it. We rented it out. And a lovely couple came. And we went off to Singapore. And we got to Singapore with $10. And it was a story of our lives, really. They tried to block us on Air New Zealand because we didn't have our green card or whatever. You know, we didn't have our work employment pass. But it came, and when we got to Singapore, this couple had put $1,500 on the driveway. And the next morning when we got up, the house was unfinished. I saw this bit of sort of paper, and I thought, we better put it in the bin. And as I felt like something was in it. I had no idea what was in it. I just said to Diane as I rushed out to catch a bus, first day on the job, with 1,000 Chinese-speaking people, and I was to be the senior pastor. And I couldn't speak one word of Chinese. Woo! They put up with me. I was so ignorant. But I learned ni hao, you know. I learned a few things. Anyway, through successive times and chapters of our lives. And so that was a new chapter. And we came back and was planted with COC. And then COC removed us. They said, you don't have a COC spirit. And when I look back, you know, we've planted 52 churches now. 52 churches. We are just a very normal couple. I mean, my wife, she's super normal, but no, I better say the right thing. But we are just a normal group of people. You know, we are really just nothing. But the call of God is everything. The call of God is beautiful. Can you say, give him a hand? The call of God is really beautiful. And so we're planted, and I guess this is the last few chapters of my lives, is running through Australia at rest. Running, but at rest. Is it possible? Yes, it is. And planting hundreds of grace churches in this country. Can you say amen? Amen. It's a big country. Let's thank the Lord. It's a big country. And some of you may be with me as we do that. But the grace message is the real message of the gospel. Everything else is the shadow or a mixture. This is the real. Okay, next one. So I want to talk about this one, the calendar of our life. And Elon brought Abraham into rest concerning his possessions. Al Shaddai, chapter 17. So that was chapter 14, El Elyon. Chapter 17 of Genesis, chapter 14 of Genesis, chapter 17. Al Shaddai brought Abraham into rest concerning having Isaac. Sarah would give birth at 90 years old, and he would be 100 even when he was circumcised. That would have been painful for that old man. And Al Olam brought Abraham into rest concerning a place. For 25 years he'd been nomadic, going from place to place to place. Finally, he settles at Bathsheba. And we're going to look at that. Next slide. It's good you guys are doing this. Now, I just want to remind you the secret place combo that we looked at. Was it last week? Did we look at the combo last week? A secret place? Last week? I think we did. Last Sunday. Who remembers last Sunday's sermon? We looked at the secret place of the Most High. Didn't we? Yeah, we looked at the combo. Or is it some other branch? Might have been another branch. Psalm 91, he who lives in the covering. Didn't I take your jacket and put it over me? Who remembers that from last week? Well, that was our sermon.
I do remember.
Oh, Lord, please help everybody, Lord. Oh, Lord, please help me, help them, Lord.
Oh,
you do now, yes, very good. He who lives in the covering, the hiding place of the Most High, that's Al Elyon. This is probably David. It doesn't say David wrote this psalm. He wrote just 70 of them, of the 150, will stay permanently under the shadow. Of the what? Of El Shaddai. And Shaddai was the one who changed and Abraham to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah and made her a princess and the mother of nations and made him into the father of many nations. Multitudes, it means in the Hebrew. Father of multitudes. And we, through Christ, are now sons of Abraham. We are. The nations would be blessed through Christ, the seed, capital S. And we are now, through the faith, he was saved by faith, we are saved by faith. The grace covenant and a faith is ours to receive, believe, and it goes from there. I just want to say something. No, I'll leave it for next Sunday. Dan's preaching next Sunday. I'll take it the following Sunday. He who lives in the covering of the Most High. That means, you know, you get this revelation. He who lives in the revelation that God is the possessor of heaven and earth, all your finance, your car, your home, your pocket money, your TAB money. Well, you know, it was really interesting. I buried a man from one of our churches. I buried him, and he was a wonderful church man. And there was a guy from the local TAB at Jindalee there. And he said, I'm coming to this funeral. And I said, I met him. And he said, I said, why is that? He said, he was our best customer. I said, well, there you go. Isn't that amazing? And the people that ran the TAB were also in our church, weren't they? Yeah, it was amazing at Jindalee. So who knows who's here this morning? Okay, number four, slide four. We've only got 12 slides, so we're going good. Okay. Abraham's grace covenant was so similar to the new covenant of grace that Christ won for us. But Christ was, he was going to start the Jewish nation, and then we as Gentiles are going to come through Christ coming in. Okay, so we're all in together by faith. All right, so let's press one, press one, press one, press one. I will make of you a great nation. Not too quick. I will bless you with abundant increase of favor. This is what he said in chapter 12. Does this sound like the new covenant?
Yes.
Didn't he say there'd be profuse favor abound? We even have favor time. That's what he said. Now, Abraham was 2167, he was born. 2167 BC. Way back there. And they were to stay in that covenant, and we were then, through Christ, would become sheriffs. But they rejected it later on at Sinai. All right, next one. I will make your name famous. Showpiece. Showpiece people in the earth. Next one. You shall be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Was this not blessed to be a blessing? It's so amazing. This was given to this man. And he went out. Next one. I think we've got a few here, guys. If you've got the notes beside you, you'll be able to follow and see how many we've got. You guys at the back there, that'll help you probably. Well, I won't have to refer so much. I will bless those who bless you. Next one. Can you see them there? Last one. This is the last one. In you shall all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed. Through Abraham's faith, we have been blessed. Through his seed. And you know what the Bible says? We become heirs of all those things. See this? These are the promises for us now. So why can't we reach for the stars? Why can't we reach for this nation? We can. Because those promises are ours. Next one. New slide. Have a look and see what it says. To be a great nation, Abraham will learn to rest a simple childlike trust, even though he's walking and he's nomadic, a simple childlike trust and total reliance on God. That's what the word rest means. You can be very active physically, but in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, you're at rest, knowing that God is in control. He is El Elyon. Give him a hand. He is El Elyon. He's the top one. He's the one that puts the life of God into us. Can you give him another clap, please? He's El Shaddai. And he's the one that orders our life. And he has periods where he places us in a new paddock of grass and then another one, just like a shepherd does too. So the P's, all these P's, three P's, all fall into place. People, okay, possessions, people, and place. All fall into place. In all three areas, Abraham's self-effort gets in the way. But Yahweh has said what? Let's have a look and see. Oh, sorry. Let's go back one slide. One slide. Yahweh said, I will. Can we go back to slide 4? Look. Look at it. Who was going to do the work? Whose I will? You shall be a blessing. I will. In you. Who was going to do the work of this covenant? Yahweh. He was going to do the work. The Lord said to him, he called him. That's Yahweh. Yah means Yahweh saves. So why do we try to get in the way? Why don't we just give up ourselves in striving to get the job done? Let's just right now in our spirits realize that the grace covenant's done, and you know God wants to be a partner with you. And when he said to me, we'd take this, he said, you're in for the ride of your life. You know, it's like he's the driver of the car. We are the passenger. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's fantastic. In you, I will. Everyone say it with me. I will. I will. I will. I will. And if you go into the New Testament, it's I will put what? My ways, write them in your heart. And I will bless you. So the I will is something we should always remember. But not I will, not I, but Christ. Amen? All right, let's go on. Come back now back into 5 and see. Next one. Grace is he will. Law and effort is I can. I can. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So grace is he will. For us, often it's, well, I can help. Yeah, look, this is amazing revelation that he got. And God, you know, that's why I feel God's helped me to preach better. And I say that because some people come and say, oh, you preach much better now, person, you've done 3 or 4 years ago. All I can say is, well, he's taking over and I'm disappearing. You know, it's, grace is he will do it. He will find you the partner in life. He will look after your bank balance. He will look after your mortgage. He will look after your health. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He'll look after your wealth. He'll look after your marriage. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He will. He will. If you just get out of the road and let him. Yeah. Get out of the road sounds a bit harsh, but I mean, if you just say, Lord, thank you, this covenant is yours, and you're going to do it for me. Now, I'm not saying that you just sit down then and go off to the Bahamas for the rest of your life. You can be directed to be a partner with the Lord, Archeleuthio, walk with him. You walk with him in becoming fisher of men. You walk with him. He'll send you to India or he'll send you somewhere. He'll send you to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. But please remember, if he sends you, he will be the one that will bring it about. He will do it. Okay, all the above has special meaning and blessing for us who now belong to Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:29, as I said, if you belong to Christ, who belongs to Christ? Honestly, who belongs to Christ in here? All of us? Most of us? Okay. If you belong to Christ, are in him, who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Wow. Wow. Just embrace that. All the promises made to Abraham are ours. Or if I put a Y on it, yours. Next one. 6. Oh, wow, wow, fei chang hao. I don't know how to say it properly. How do you say it? Fei chang hao. Fei chang hao. Means fantastic in Chinese. Now let's go to El Olam. God has specific timing and plans for our lives. El Olam. On many occasions through the scriptures, we see that God has an appointed time to do things. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself, this is Jesus, as a ransom for all people, a fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. You know, some of your Bibles will say, in the fullness of time, Christ came. That means at the right and proper time. In your life and in your call, there's a right and proper time. And it'll be purple patch after purple patch after purple patch as you move in that. And sometimes we wait and we think, you know, I suffered from a sickness for 5.5 years. And only 5 weeks or 6 weeks ago, I got absolutely healed from it. Absolutely healed. Isn't that amazing? But sometimes we say, oh God, why should I wait? Why should I? You know, and that's sort of the hard questions that we come sometimes face in life. But be full of faith that if God be God, which he is, and made this world and left his holy scriptures for us, and he says his nature is El Olam, there'll be a time when one chapter closes and the next chapter opens up.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? It's beautiful. And you can see all this in, look, 6:14b, until the appearing of our Lord, which appearing will be shown forth in his own proper time, by the blessed only sovereign ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Galatians 4:4, but when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son. And there's a whole heap of other scriptures I could give you. But all the time you see Jesus there is like the El Olam. He comes at the proper time. Now, have you got enough energy to just follow me in this? This is something special. In the Bible, and in this triplet, there is these three names. Where do you see Jesus' El? His name is Emmanuel. Where do you see? So that is the first of the compound name. Where do you see Jesus as El Elyon? Where? Means most high. Do you see him as the most high God? What did it say? And you shall have a son, the angel, Archangel Gabriel said. And you shall have a son, and he shall be called Son of the El Elyon. Well, my dad's Jack Campbell, I'm Purse Campbell, so I got the same name. God's son, a little bit different, the illustration, means uniquely God, El, becomes El Elyon. And you and us, we will be called sons of the Most High.
Yes.
So there he is. Where do you see him as the El Shaddai? Where do you see Jesus in the New Testament as the El Shaddai? Give you a clue.
Defeating the 5,000.
No. Actually see him called the Almighty God. It's in the book of Revelation. What's he doing with the seven churches? It describes him. And what's he doing?
Pouring
the oil into the lampstands, right? And trimming the wicks, remember? I have to pray for chemical laydown in your brains. Okay. You know, Jesus is there, says the Almighty God, El Shaddai, and he is ministering to the churches. Every church has an angel. This church has one. This branch. Our 10 branches have got 10 angels. The angel will bring a message through people to the church. Okay? So he's actually speaking to these seven grace churches that Paul planted, like Ephesus and Pergamum, etc. And he's actually saying to them, look, this is what I love about you. But this is what I would like to remove from you as well. Some of the wick, you know, some of them were doing things. They were lukewarm one, do you remember?
Yes.
Remember one was lukewarm?
Yeah.
What was the name of that one? Laodicea. And it was lukewarm. And he said, oh, you know, because there were springs. And when they brought the water to the town, the small town of Laodicea, it would be lukewarm. It was neither hot nor cold. And he said, you're just like the spring that brings that water. You know, it's not hot enough to have a nice hot shower. And it's not cool enough to have a cool shower in the summer. He says, you're neither hot nor cold. And so that was Jesus as the El Shaddai, pouring in life, but also bringing circumcision to self-effort. Self-effort had got in there. So finally, Ishmael's going to have to go. All right, let's go to seven. Oh, and the last one, where do you see Jesus as the El Olam? Where? Well, we saw it, didn't he? At the appointed time, at the appointed time, at the appointed time. All right? Okay, let's go to number eight, or word usage. Ael is power to intervene. Olam is secret time hidden from man. Now, I want to discuss something with you and help you through this, because if you go into your Bible, you'll have lots of questions about what Pastor Purse said today. A time or age or passing period. It was incorrectly translated, and I've got this from very good sources, number of sources. Time, infinity, or everlasting, because literally Olam means time hidden from man. How many of you know all your future? Who does know your future? Not the tarot card reader. Not the clairvoyant. Who knows your future? God. The beginning and the end. It's not hidden from God, but Olam means time hidden from man. When will I get married? When will, you know, who will I marry? When would I go to be a missionary? The call of my life. When will I get to university to be this doctor and train? You know, all these different things you can think about. And I don't know whether you're living in the absolute job that God's provided for you, but the most precious thing is to find the call of God and know that he will open the door and open the door and open the door. I will, he said. All right. So time infinity was what they called it. They thought it was secret time, so that means eternal. So sometimes you will see this name everlasting. And when you see it, that's the same as El Olam, but it's incorrect translation. Do you get it? It is not everlasting. It's secret time that only God knows for you. All right? This is not what the name means. What it really means is the God who has power to plan the ages or calendar of our life. It always speaks of some passing period which runs its course and fulfills its purpose in God's dealings. So how has the Lord been dealing with me? I'm opening my heart. He has stripped me in this last 5.5 years of self-effort. I heard a lady, I heard a lady in the on the radio this morning. My car has this habit of putting the radio on itself. It's a Holden Astra. As soon as you get in, turn on the key, the radio starts. You don't have to press it. It just starts. And it was that guy who's Australia all over. What's his name? Macca. Morning, Macca, I said. And driving down. And I was thinking of this day. And this lady, he was interviewing this lady. She said, I've just written a book, she said. And it's called If It Has To Be, It's Up To Me. And she said, it's for sale. He said, oh, what's it called? And she said, I've found out that everybody can contribute to life. And if everybody realizes it's up to them, she said, everything will be all right. And I yelled at her in the car, rubbish. And I turned off the radio. If it has to be, it's up to me, she said. No, listen, the call of God will be given by God and sustained and energized by God and come to fulfillment by God. Amen. Amen. So if God's called you into business, like, see, Pastor Joey is actually a psychologist. And if he knows the call of God in there, his business will flourish. Because of the call of God. You might open up something in business, go flat on your face, and you just, it's not what God has got for you. So God promises, I will build my church. So the pastors that try and build it for him may fall flat on their face. He says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The enemy shall not empty it. All right. What it really means is God, who has power to plan the ages or calendars of his life, always speaks of a passing period. What is the time in the history of the church now? The grace revolution time. Right throughout the world, people are seeking to understand grace. So you know the timing, and you're in the timing of God. Someone up in one of our branch churches said last week, why is Percy, our pastor, you know, preaching on grace and Jesus? He said, I've been here now for 6 months, and all I hear is grace and Jesus. And I was so thrilled. Pastor Sid told me, I was so thrilled. I thought, we're right on it, man. This is the time to preach grace and Jesus.
That's it. Jesus plus nothing.
Equals everything. And this person said, I've had this. Now, I want to go on to something new. Oh, I realized they don't know grace. Grace is the core of the gospel that's been left out of the truth, where man has stepped in and put his ideas on the church and his structures and everything else. Now we're stripping and we're becoming law-free churches. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, let's give the Lord a hand for that. El Olam is restoring us into rest. Is that true? So he came into rest in this, and he was so blessed. Next one. Okay, we're 8 with Abraham. Watch. 3 things happened at this time, which were the closing and opening of 3 time periods. And this is chapter 21. And they're all in chapter 21. Watch how this name totally describes the nature of God and working in Abraham. This is the last one. He has to have a place. So what happened? The bondmaid Hagar and her son are cast out. Was that a good idea? Was that a good idea, people? But it wasn't to Abraham. He loved Ishmael. He loved it. And it was self-effort that he married that girl.
Yes.
And he didn't like his wife telling him, you got to get rid of her. Maybe he thought that Sarah was just jealous, or Sarah was feeling revengeful or something. She said it twice. First time was out of the timing of God. Then the next time she said, you got to do this. If Isaac's going to inherit and he's the son of the promise, get rid of the self-effort in our lives, Abe. He says, but darling, how can I do that? God was very merciful and said, I will make him nation as well. But look, the end of Abraham's dice with self-effort happened in his life. The Bible tells us that Jesus dealt with our flesh. He gave us a new nature, and he nailed the flesh to the cross. Why don't you leave it there? Purse, why don't you leave it there? Thank you, I've got it. For I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. But because I'm crucified with Christ, I live. But not I, who? Christ. Self-effort gone. Christ lives in me. Now listen to this. And the life that I live by the faith. If he's in me, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not my own. Not my own faith. It's not my own faith. He's merciful and kind and humble, Jesus, and it says the kindness of God that leads us to salvation.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
He gives us the love of God shed abroad in our hearts,
yes,
by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Everything we have from God, because he's saying, I will, I will, I will. And he's come to live in you, so if you listen to him, you will have all the faith you need to get the job done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's grace churches in Australia and there's faith churches in Australia. And people say, what's the difference? Well, you know, if you're just believing in faith and not grace, you haven't understood the principle. You know, you can say, well, I had a brother that confessed, you know, I'm confessing. He used to put the tape recorder under his pillow. You know, I can do all things through Christ. I've got faith and working on it. No, it's not that. God can speak a simple word. I remember I was driving the car and I was a little bit upset with the person in front who wouldn't move and the lights turned green. So I honked on the horn. You know, I said, this was in another country, you know, and I said, oh, look, I'm rushing to a Pentecost Sunday. I didn't say that to her, but in my mind I did. I legitimized my impatience. And I said that, you know, and then I stuck there again. And then all of a sudden in my car, I got a vision. God said, I'm going to give you a round-the-world yacht. That's what God said to me. And he said, you're going to smuggle Bibles into Muslim countries. There I was in my self-effort saying, come on, lady. And God thought, now's the time. I've trapped them right there. I've often found with God that because I'm a choleric type nature, I'm into self-effort very quickly. I'm into it, man. If it has to be, it's up to me. No, darling. No, dear. It's not. It's up to God. He loves you and he will do it for you. So Jesus is in me and I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Galatians 2:20. Who loves me and gave himself for me. You don't ever have a lot of faith to be healed. A grain of faith will shift a mountain. You don't have to hype yourself up with faith. Faith is simply letting Christ in you do it and putting your trust and rest in him. I know because I've just received it. After doing everything, praying every prayer I could. The flesh no longer mocks the spirit of grace, resting in God's I will. Look, this is the end of Abraham's dice with self-effort, the flesh. And Ishmael was persecuting the little boy, taunting him and saying, I'm older than you. Whatever, I don't know. But he's actually saying to this kid, you know, I'm getting the inheritance maybe before you. I don't know. But the flesh no longer mocks when the flesh, your self-effort comes to an end. Can you say amen? It has come to an end if you'd only embrace it. It was ended at the cross. Can you say amen to that? So Jesus has done it all. Next slide. I love that. I love the fact Jesus has done everything, don't you? It's a complete finished work. Sarah conceives and bears a son. It should be not a so. Bears a so. Bears a son to Abraham. He circumcises Isaac on the eighth day. Now, the eighth day, doctors have found, is the best day when the highest factors of clotting occur in the blood, in the eighth day of a child. And so, you know, a number of people, males are circumcised, and it's out of favour sort of now. In my family, it was in favour. And I remember my mother telling me that that was the day when the clotting factors are the highest. So God was very clever about that. And all the males in Abraham too. Wrong, Percy. It happened later. It happened actually later. All the males were in chapter 17, not when Isaac was born, just before that. Now, the number 8 speaks of resurrection, new beginnings. When you know self-effort is finished and you're totally at rest in all these areas, hey, new beginnings take place in your life. Come on, everyone, come on. Come on. I heard a lady prophesy this morning, and she said it'll be a new thing. Yeah. New beginnings. Church, you can hear all about this rest, but if you come into it, embrace it this morning. Come on. You guys with all your future ahead of you, embrace this rest. It's something that Jesus won for us in Hebrews 4. And it says, spudazo, into this rest. Run into this rest. Spudazo, hasten into it. Hasten means hasten into the rest of God. All right, next point. Finally, Abraham settles in the land of Canaan and wandering 25 years, the land that God, I will, gives him at Beersheba. the southernmost city of Canaan land. And the Philistine Abimelech king goes back, or was it? Yeah, I think it was Abimelech. Might not have been. Might have been Phicol. Phicol. But they go back to the Philistine place, which is where the terrorists, Hezbollah, are there. And that was the Philistine country. And the land that God I will gives at Beersheba, the southernmost city. Abe plants a tamarisk tree, puts his roots down, settles, rest. In the next chapter, chapter 22, he passes with an A++. He goes up the mountain and God says, I want to test your rest. Bring your son, your only son who I gave you, and slay him. And Abe says, fine, Lord. And Hebrews says, he even believed that God, his faith was so strong, he believed that God would raise his son back to life. He was so full of faith. And guess what? He got the best picture you and I could ever have. While he's up there, God provides Jesus a lamb caught in the thicket. And he gets a picture of the salvation of Jesus. I don't know whether he got saved then, but he definitely had was accounted to him as righteousness, just like our righteousness. He was saved by faith. He walked now in faith, and faith wasn't something that he had tried to muster up. Faith was something that God gave him in revelation. Christ in you will give you faith. Oh, isn't this exciting? It's beautiful, this sermon. I think it's the best one. I always say they're all the best, but, you know. He now has a place. He goes back to Beersheba, and he has his wife dies at 127 Sarai. He buries her. And then he marries Keturah, and he has many more sons, and he dies at 175 years old. And the life expectancy of a man there was about 35. And he dies at 175. There you go. Eat your heart out, Sam. See you at 176. He now has a place. He's got his possessions. He came to rest. He now has a person. He's got his people through Isaac. And he now has a place. So he has his possessions, a people, and a place. Jesus is our, and he learned up the mountain, he is our Yehovah Yireh. He is our Yehovah, one of the Elohistic names. Nearly there, 10. Life responses. Here we go now. How does this good news help us? Find the call of Ael for your life. Underline it. Underline it. Find the call of Ael for your life. Ael is the great intervener. You may be a doctor, but he wants you to be something else. You may have used your brain for something. I was a scientist. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I longed to be a marine biologist. My father wanted me to be a doctor. But God wanted me to be a missionary. And then he took me out of Bible schools. We had five Bible schools running at once all over Southeast Asia, in India and all over the place. And I was just administrating them and being principal of one. But then I was half, 6 months of the year, I was away in those other four Bible schools. And Diane was basically bringing up the kids. Is that true, Di? And it was so hard on my wife. It's so hard, three little kids. And there I am running around. So, you know, I've been there, done that. Now I'm coming into the place where God, thank you, Jesus, has stripped me of self-effort, and now I can rest. And when the harvest is going to be greater than anything I ever tried to do before. And I love this. You will love this. You know that scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord? Okay. Well, watch this. This is an amazing thing I discovered yesterday. Remember Isaiah 40, 27. And 27 to 40. Why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel? Now, this is the prophet Isaiah. He says, why do you say, my way and my lot are hidden from the Lord? Are you got your thinking cap on? Because God says his name is El Olam. Nothing is hidden from him. Why do you say, Israel, that my way and my lot are hidden from the Lord, and my right is passed over without regard from my God? My right. Get it? My right is passed over without regard from my God. We'll all have a little cry. Not fair, Lord. Not fair. You know? Now, this word God is Elohim, the plural of El. The plural of El. Okay? You can see the E-L. Have you not known? Now, here comes the prophet Isaiah. When did he prophesy? About 700-something BC as well. All right? Have you not heard the everlasting God? Here it is. But it's not really everlasting, but he's using it. If you go into the Hebrew, it's El Olam. And then he says, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. All right? You got your screens? You can have a look at it. I'll look at mine. He gives power to the faint. This is El, the plural, Elohim. He gives power to the faint and weary, Sid. Oh, he's gone. He's gone to the gents, I guess. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Yes! 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 Even youths shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But, everyone say but. Aren't you thankful for this heavenly but? Those who covor, entwine around the Lord, put their trust in him, some say. This is Yahweh saves. Who expect, look for, and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. Oh, come on, give the Lord a hand for this. This is the promise of Isaiah to us. Look. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, Heather, yes. 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 So guess who's in behind this? The God who they thought did not know about them. The God who'd forgotten their rights and their time. He is the God who never sleeps. He does not slumber. Our ways are known to him. And as you put your trust, it's korbor in the Hebrew, means like the braiding of a hair. I can't do it with mine. Can't do it with Sid's. We could do it there. We could do it with yours, darling. Could you come? Could you come? You, yeah, you, yeah. Yeah, yes, yes, you. Is that all right? I'm not going to try it, but, you know, my daughter, Maylee, she's really good. Okay, you don't need to look at the people, you see. And she will get the hair and she will braid it. Now, let me know. It's like a rope. Tell me, is this true? Is all the parts of a rope together, are they stronger than if they were one? And so it says, when you korbor, see, this word, stay there. Those who wait means korbor for the Lord. Put your trust in him. Entwine yourself around him. You'll renew your strength and power. You'll lift up your wings. You shall run and not be. They shall walk and not faint. Because El never slumbers or sleeps. He never grows weary. And his strength becomes your strength. So Maylee does this. You know, my hands have probably need to be washed. But, you know, it's lovely hair, isn't it? See, they love your hair. They love your hair. See, she's a lovely person, isn't she?
She's a lovely lady. I know her.
You're my sister too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it looks nice and some of them do it like this. And we had a girl in grade 12 in our home. She's in our home at the moment. And she braided her hair. Lovely Chinese girl. And from China. And she braided her hair for her dance, you know, the formal for grade 12. And I said to her, oh, you look so beautiful. And she put it up there and she got the hairdresser to do it. And I said, I never knew you were so beautiful. You know, I said to her, and she said, thanks, Dad. And she rushed out, you know, thinking he tells lies a lot. You know. Sometimes we listen to these sermons instead of embracing them. And we don't let the truth penetrate. Believe you me, if I was younger, I would have probably married her. She looked beautiful. And when you cavil with the Lord, you start to look beautiful too. Instead of feeling like, oh, this burden's so big. When you know he's the I will and I will do it for you. Let your faith soar now. Come on. This is the life response. Thank you. Congratulations. Congratulations. You went on 5 screens at once, girl. So walk and not faint, become tired. Last slide, because I'm coming a little tired now. Abraham came into a time of complete rest. Can you give him a clap, please? Totally knowing that God is the God will, I will. He's the I will. Then Abraham's spirit was released. It means he died. And he died at a good, ample, full old age. An old man. Now look what it says about this old man. Satisfied and satiated. Satiated means it was pouring out. The blessings were just pouring out of his life. And he was gathered to his forefathers, his people. He was a prince in the land. We are heirs of all the promises made to Abe. Because of hindsight today, we can run into it. We don't need to make the mistakes that he did. Come on, everybody. This side of the cross, we've had renewed to us this grace covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. It's ours now. And it's even better because us Gentiles come in to be special people to God. And I've got hasten and a big, big thank you to our wonderful Jesus for bringing us into grace. Let's put our hands up and spoodadzo now into rest. Come on. From this time forth, Lord, what's the date? The 25th of September. Just past my daddy's birthday. The 25th September. I, in Christ, finish with self-effort. It's finished. It's cut off. I thank you at the cross. It was nailed. The law was finished. Cut off. It was nailed as well. I finished. I am crucified with Christ. The I in me. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Not I. Say that to yourself. Not I. Not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith. Whose faith? The Son of God who loves me and who lives in me. I am the temple of God. I'm not just a friend. I'm his temple. And he lives in me. And as I cavil and rest, he does it all. Because you know what? It says he's a rewarder of them. It says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then it finishes, he's a rewarder of them. He's a rewarder of them, I said. He's a rewarder of them that diligently embrace the word of God this morning. Father, we thank you for this life as we close this triplet. We thank you for this triplet of grace. And here it is in the word preserved for us so that we won't make the mistakes that he did. And so we just thank you for this body. Let us rise up together with wings. Amen. And let us know that we look beautiful to God. We are beautiful in him. We are fabulous before him. We are his sisters, Jesus' sisters, and God's daughters, and God's sons. Ale, we love you. And I pray if any in this room today have not embraced Ale, Emmanuel, who came to earth, Jesus, they will receive Jesus today. Just keep our eyes closed. If there's anyone, I don't know if there's anyone, but if you want to receive him, just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, you are my Emmanuel. I receive you into my life. On the cross, you took my place. And you exchanged your life and righteousness with my death and sinfulness. Because the wages of sin is eternal death. You have given me Zoe life. And I walk in you, and you put the faith of yourself in me. Oh, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I receive you totally today. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today to us.